Ladies and gentlemen, the Hold Up Podcast.
Hold up!
Wow.
That was great. Yeah, I felt good about that. Uh-huh. I feel like I can yell in my house and do whatever I want now because it's my house.
You're a homeowner now.
That's right.
And you're slowly, I don't want to say slowly, you're filling the room with memorabilia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's more or less filled.
Oh, more or less filled. Nice. You hung a clock and some artwork.
Yeah. That's what's left. Artwork, hanging stuff. But that's it. Everything is out of boxes. We're out of boxes already. Like, we live here. It's great.
Well, congratulations. Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway.
I'm John Stenning.
Justin Adam Kay.
We are here with Tom Howes. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We are here to talk about your childhood, things that you experienced then and whether or not they hold up now. In a more general sense, before we get into your picks, Tom, I'd like to, you know, maybe we paint a picture for our listeners of, you know, the sort of media that you were into growing up. You know, did you watch a lot of movies, watch a lot of TV, or was that, you know, video games, whatever, or was that really not your thing and you spent a lot of time outside? How did you spend your free time growing up?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So we weren't as plugged into a lot of media in my household. We didn't have video games. We didn't have cable TV, so it was just the broadcast channels and whatever we could find at the tape rental place. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I was a little reluctant to consider coming on the show is I don't know a whole lot about pop culture. Like, a lot of references go way over my head because I didn't grow up with MTV. So, like, when people reference a music video, like, can't relate to you. I never saw it.
I also never watched MTV.
Like, even growing up, you didn't?
No, God, no. No, that wasn't allowed in the house.
Wow, because you love music, Justin. You're all about music.
Yeah, but as far as my dad was concerned, MTV didn't play music.
Of course.
And if at the time it did, it wasn't classic rock and thus not, it didn't exist. Right.
Yeah, your dad thinks everything but classic rock is garbage.
It's not even, so growing up,
it's like not even, it doesn't even exist. It's not even garbage. It doesn't even exist.
That's why, we've mentioned this on the show before. I just think this is so funny. And if you're new to the show, but basically the way my dad raised me was that after classic rock ended, there was no new rock. It was just rap music and pop music, and that's it. And as far as he's concerned, we're not listening to that. We're only listening to rock music. So in eighth grade, when I was shown like Sum 41 as punk rock, blew my mind. Like, I couldn't even comprehend that like there was someone playing a guitar that was like young like me. That just crazy.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely was raised with classic rock being like a fail-safe choice. Like, you couldn't go wrong if you were into classic rock. That was
That is a good point. It because it like had already like, it's standing the test of time. I mean, it does have that adjective classic before it, you know? So that sort of implies that it's not going to go away and people are going to enjoy it. And a lot of it is like, I mean, especially the stuff that has held up or has like, you know, remained in the zeitgeist, it you know, it's good because that's why it's still around.
It's pretty funny that you think like classic rock, because in the 90s, we were calling it classic rock. And now we're in the 2020s and we're still calling it classic rock. And it still means that same late 60s, 70s to mid 80s. Like, that's it.
I guess so, but I feel like there's stuff that was on the radio when I was in high school that I hear like lumped in with Led Zeppelin now. Yeah. I don't listen to much classic rock. It's kind of like an antique car. It's like a certain age, but it doesn't feel right if you grew up in a certain time. Like, antique car is 25 years old, which means that a car from 1995 is an antique. That's not correct.
But right.
It's not correct.
Yeah, like if it's not from the 50s, it's not an antique car to me.
Yeah,
basically. 50s, 60s, you know?
People definitely think like Nirvana and Pearl Jam are classic rock. Some people
really?
Do.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because to me, I mean, this is totally off topic, but to me, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, like that 90s music
grunge
will just
stuff.
Be grunge. Yeah. Like that is grunge. Like, there's... I mean, if there's new grunge, maybe, I have no idea, but I would call it new grunge because grunge will always be the 90s grunge.
Well, not to speak for you, but as someone who is into music and is like, you know, really tapped into that with like all the genres and subgenres and stuff, you know, it makes sense that, you know,
that it's true, but say that. These particular genres, like I'm speaking as like a very much an outsider. Like I don't really listen to any of these bands much, you know, other than like, because growing up, Nirvana, I didn't even know it was a band.
Sure.
Pearl Jam, Smashing Pumpkins, those didn't, like, I didn't know.
Right. They weren't Led Zeppelin or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, Tom, you didn't watch MTV. You didn't have cable. That is very usual. We've had many, many people on the show like that. So what you were kind of tapped into whatever was at the rental store. How did that, how did you typically decide what to watch at the rental store? How did you know?
So we didn't have MTV. We didn't have cable because it was, I think, my dad wasn't a huge fan of the idea of MTV. He said, like, if we ever get cable, we're going to get it without MTV. That was the only reason that either of me or my sister wanted cable in the first place. So when we went to rent movies, there was a similar thing where we couldn't get anything too edgy, basically.
I was going to ask, was it a real strict, you know, when you come through, is it a got to get parental approval on anything you pick off the shelves?
Yeah, and I don't mean to overstate this. We weren't like a crazy lockdown religious family or anything.
But yeah.
Like PG. So like say PG was the limit. So anything if it was a PG limit, that might have come later. I remember like I was kind of a naive kid and probably through like middle school. Like I thought if it was PG, it could not be viewed by children. Like it, something awful would happen. So like.
Yeah.
And I considered it to be like, I think I lumped everything in with like horror slasher movies. And I remember,
right? Because it's just going to be that. It's going to be that violent, and it's going to
There's a reason
it's going to make you crazy.
Yeah, if it's there's not G, they don't want it's a slasher film, right? Yeah. That's like if it's not classic rock, it's rap.
Yeah.
I remember in second grade, maybe I have the year wrong, but somebody asked me if I saw the movie Short Circuit.
Yep.
And I said, no, I'm not allowed to watch horror movies in my house. And that was not the right answer. That was not the right thing to say.
Were you lambasted for it by your peers or?
I was probably just like isolated because of that. Isolated in a way that I just didn't comprehend or didn't understand. Yeah. Like, you don't know what you're missing if you don't have access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up very sheltered. Sorry to interrupt, but
no,
it's very similar experience.
Every once in a while, someone would give us a videotape of, like they just recorded the Disney Channel for like 4 hours and just gave us the tape, and we're like, "Oh,
this rules!"
Yeah, there's different commercials, like
that kind of thing. Right. The video store that you went to, Tom, was it sort of like a mom and pop video store or was it like a chain, like a Blockbuster or something like that?
No, it was totally mom and pop. It was
that rules.
It was $1.99 to rent a movie and it was only one, you rent it and return it the next day. So it wasn't like, it wasn't even like a 3 day thing.
Yeah.
And so our VCR was defective in a way that, you know how they had the top of the tape has like a flap that comes open.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a device inside the machine that pushes a button, which allows that flap to open so that the heads can read the tape.
Yep.
So that device is broken on our machine. So we had to put a piece of scotch tape over the cassette tape.
Uh-huh.
So to help the machine, play the tape. So we would occasionally rent the tape from the store and see the tape covered over the thing. We're like, oh, we already saw this movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's awesome. Because, like, you were the people putting the tape on it.
Yeah, we're the only ones that either had that problem or figured out that fix.
Yeah.
So we watched a lot of, like, Disney family dramas, like, what's the dragon one? Not Puff the Dragon. Peach Dragon.
Oh, yep, yep, like, Peach Dragon.
Like, Old Yeller, like that.
Okay,
That kind of movie, like.
Gotcha. What about, like,
live action?
What's the flying car? What's the Disney
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah, one?
Chitty Bang Bang.
I think of like Sound of Music and Mary Poppins when I think of movies like that, you know?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, we're all proud of in my house because one of the actress has somehow related to us.
Oh, so, nice. There you go.
Yeah, Sally Ann Howes. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
cool. I don't know if I've ever seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I know I've seen it, but yeah. I could never... other than what I think the only thing I know of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at this point is Ace Ventura making a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang reference.
Yes, he sings it in
where he's like, one of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, wow! And then like yeah. slams the car.
He does it a little bit better than you, I think. I will just say.
Absolutely. I mean, he's driving a Jeep through the jungle, so he's got that.
Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls.
Wasn't there a scene in that movie where they stretch some guy's legs out?
That seems right.
Yes.
Like it's some form of torture.
It's actually him, and he gets... it's probably quite problematic looking back on it now. He gets sort of like intertwined with like these like native people who have like lost a bat, and he goes to like this other tribe who have like stolen the bat supposedly. And yeah, Tommy Davidson, actor Tommy Davidson, like throws spears at Jim Carrey and he splits his legs open, and it's like...
Oh, yeah. I was talking about
Chitty Chitty Bang
Chitty
Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh my goodness.
I think
so there's
like
another parallel.
Yeah, it's a very surreal-ish movie where they're I don't want to say it mixes cartoons with real life actors, but it's like I feel like it was a bizarre. It was like Mary Poppins. It was that same kind of special effects style, right?
Take some liberties with reality.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I don't really remember that movie. So you had that for movies. You didn't really have TV. Were you?
Well, we had the broadcast channel. So that was like Saturday morning cartoons and reruns of what's that show? The Andy Griffith thing. Like
that
era. The golden era of television would be on in the daytime, and then I don't know. Local news at night.
And then like whatever the networks are playing in terms of like sitcoms or dramas or whatever. Right.
Yeah. I haven't even thought about the way that we took in media like that, those years for so long. So I don't know. Do we date ourselves on this show?
Of course.
So
I graduated high school in 97. So that's when I grew up. So like that, right when I entered college, it was like basically right when the internet started. I didn't have my first email address until I started college. Yeah. So it was all just passive absorbing.
Right. It's
for the most part.
Very different than it is today, where you're just inundated with it, right? Like screens and all that stuff. I hate to sound like there's so many screens around, you know,
but they're really,
yeah, that's what my kids are just on iPads. And then to get them off iPads, we're like, just watch TV. And that's the compromise.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do something that's a little less engaging.
Go ahead, John.
No, Tom, you mentioned like not watching MTV, but wanting to. What type of like music, like was there any type of music that you were listening to other than the pick? Thank you, Justin was like, oh, I appreciate your...
That's what I was about to ask.
I'm trying to work on my transition.
We went
through
TV and movies. So what about music, which is sort of what you related to your pick today?
Music. I'm trying to remember. My parents had a small record collection. It was not enormous, but there was a lot of country music played in my house, and had some Beatles albums, and I got more into music when once I was more in high school and like discovered classic rock. Basically. Yeah. Listen to more of that, but yeah, on the radio, if we were driving around, my parents would have country music on. My dad is actually a big polka music fan.
Oh,
so
cool.
Oh, interesting. That's cool.
Didn't really catch on with me, but
I love polka because of Weird Al. And I think, but I really only like, that's all really all, the most of the polka that I have brought in has been like the Weird Al polka. You know, he does like the sort of melody.
I think accordion. It's like that accordion sound, that
accordion
sound.
No, he does the mashups of like all the covers of like certain genres and stuff with the accordion and stuff. And but polka seems like really interesting, really like niche music genre, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't know the origin of that. I don't know how he got into it, but he plays the accordion and
Cool. You grew up around like the New England area?
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Southeastern Mass.
Polka seems very Midwestern to me too.
Yeah, is it Polish? I don't know his stories. Yeah. No, he's not Polish. Yeah, Polka is Polish, but
yeah, right.
He is not.
But maybe his neighborhood growing up could have been, especially like New England tends to be
a neighborhood of Polka.
No, neighborhood of like more Polish. So like I say that because even in one of the town, you know, the town John and I grew up, like right on the border between our town and the next town over, there was it's all a Catholic church. There's plenty of Catholic churches, but there was the Polish Catholic Church. And like all their festivals celebrated the Polish saints because it just happened to be a big Polish population. And so whether you were Polish or not,
a lot of social clubs, Polish was like American sports club,
yeah.
The Polish
so I wonder
club.
If,
there was a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if that's, you know, he grew up in an area like that.
I'm sure he'd be happy to come on this podcast and tell you.
We'd love that.
All about it.
Yeah. Anytime.
It's funny that I don't know. I don't know how he got into it, but he, to this day, he wakes up and plays the accordion all day long.
That's dope. That's super cool, though, being a good accordion player.
So something that you might know is how did you get into this week's pick? Which, I think, you know, you can do us the honor of revealing to everyone who might have missed the title of the episode what you picked for today's show, and, like, sort of the background of this and, you know, how you got into it.
What I have picked is an album called The California Raisins Sing the Hit Songs. And
I listened to it 3 times. Honestly.
Yeah, I've listened to it a bunch. Yeah.
It's like, it's easy listening, you know? It really is.
It originally came as a blue cassette tape. Yeah. And it was the first album I ever purchased with my own money. And
so good.
I don't remember if it was cold hard cash. Yep. Or if it was box tops, or if it was some combination, but
box tops, interesting.
In my house, there were 5 or 6 broadcast channels, and there were 3 serials, and Raisin Bran was one of them. And so, I don't remember the exact ad I responded to, but it must have been something else because I mailed in whatever, got the cassette tape, and that it definitely was the first album I had ever decided I wanted to get. And God, I think California Raisins were big around the time I was in 3rd and 4th grade, I remember. So it was probably...
Late 80s?
It was definitely late 80s. Yeah, when did this come out? 87.
Yeah,
so
it came out in 87.
Oh, no, 87.
Yeah. Their first appearance was in 1986, and their last appearance was in 1998. They've come back a couple times, but like they like basically mid to late 80s was the golden era of the California Raisins.
They were winning Emmys.
They were involved in Emmy winning programming.
So
were they?
Yeah. So Tom, you mailed away for this.
Yeah.
Why? Why did you want? Like you were just like, oh, a cassette tape, like. I want that. And you didn't necessarily know what was on it, or did you know?
So if I had to guess, I don't have perfect clarity of those times, but I was a big fan of the song La Bamba, and just from hearing it on the radio from the oldies stations, and I think probably I saw that was one of the songs on this tape, and I thought, now I can listen to that song more than I can right now, even though it's played...
All the time.
Consistently.
All the time. So that, if I had to guess, that was what prompted me to send away for it. But boy, was I glad to have my music horizons opened by the other songs on there, because it's a good album.
It is.
It is hit after hit.
Yeah, there's 10 songs. It's 36 minutes total. And, I mean, like... So I saw Tom yesterday, Justin. I was telling him that I listened to it on the way to work, and then I put it on again today. Sort of while I was like sort of doing things around the house, and it got to the end, and I had it just set on repeat, and it got back to the top. I didn't turn it off. I just like listened to it immediately again because it really is like, and I mean, it opens with the best. If you're not familiar, the California Raisins are anthropomorphic raisins that sing. And as the story goes, basically it's Raisin propaganda, right? Big Raisin paid for these, like Sun Made paid for these commercials. And as the story goes, they were in a meeting like with marketing and they said like, well, we've done everything except for have Raisin sing I Heard It Through the Grapevine. And someone was like, light bulb, and that's what happened.
Is that, a true story?
That I multiple sources. I see it on Wikipedia, and then I have it. I have it elsewhere up here, like on some California Raisin like big fan blog. Even if you go to calraisins.org, there's still a California Raisin on the website.
So this was the origin story of this is just basically like a throwaway joke that somebody decided to take seriously.
They wanted to like make it They wanted to bring attention to raisins in a fun way.
Yeah.
Make them more accessible.
I cannot explain why the California Raisins struck such a note, but I think it was the claymation. It was probably like the first exposure most people had to claymation.
So that's what I was going to ask you, Tom, is like, so real quick, just to give people, this is an album with 10 songs that are covers. They're covers sung by, Buddy Miles.
That's right. He's the lead singer of the...
Singing like Motown-y type songs. So you have I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Lean On Me, Stand By Me, You Can't Hurry Love, Heartbreak Hotel, La Bamba, Respect, When a Man Loves a Woman, The Sweet, Delicious, and Marvelous, and then Money Money. Probably my favorite. So that's like where we're coming from. And I guess what I was going to ask you, Tom, is like what... What is the deal with the Raisins? Like, what?
Oh, relax there, Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, okay, yeah, sorry. But it was like, you have I Heard It Through the Grapevine. So I was like, oh, is this just a bunch of like wine and grape and raisin related songs? And that's the kicker? Like,
there's no through line like that. I don't think there is.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. I mean, I started looking into this more because I didn't remember like every single song on here, but they didn't cut any corners. They put out like a legitimate cover music album.
Yeah.
And they didn't like every song holds up decently. Like my kids listen to a lot of kids bop, which is just like kid friendly versions of pop songs. But I feel like this is a higher level of music production.
Yeah. The production is really good.
The solid. That's why I guess. So then I saw it won all the Emmys, and I think it's exactly what you were saying, Tom. It's the claymation that go along with these. That's what was like, because now they can have commercials, and they have a claymation, which is just like very cool, especially at the time, singing I Heard It Through the Grapevine, but it's a raisin, and you know people fucking lost their shit. You know, like Raisin Brand was like,
That is the song that taught a generation of people that raisins came from grapes.
Oh my God, that's so true. I never really thought of it that way, but absolutely. Because as a kid, you're like, "Oh, that's just that's a raisin," you know. But you heard it through the grapevine, and they connect those dots. The California Raisins put out 6 albums in 2 years between 1987 and the holiday season of 1988, which they put out Christmas with the California Raisins. They put out 6 different albums. That's a lot of music.
Did they?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if I had the Christmas one. I should back up a second and explain something that for probably, I don't know for how long, but longer than is reasonable. I didn't know that these were covers. So,
that's so good.
So many years I was listening to this, like I listened to it so many times those became the versions of the song for me.
Right. Yeah.
So then when I would hear the real Bill Withers version or the actual version, it just sounded like incorrect to me. Yeah. And I have probably recently just overcome that and understood. Like I went back and listened to the California Raisins and I was like, oh yeah, that doesn't sound like the guy's voice. But
Right.
Like it's so well done. It's
believable. Oh, it's so well done. And like especially Lean On Me. Lean On Me starts like really like I guess traditionally as it would, because there's been other covers of this song, and it just starts with a nice little piano ballad, and then all of a sudden like that bass kicks in, and it's like ba-dum, bum, bump, 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 bump. And it like really grooves. And
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I was trying to think the other day, like, what am I confusing this with? Like, who did a funky cover of Lean On Me? And I don't think I'm confusing it with anybody. I think that
I think it's this.
It's very good.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. And it's like, it has 100%. I mean, I hate to get too ahead of ourselves because we usually ask, like, does it hold up at the end of the segment? But, like, that Lean On Me song, I think, is my favorite. And, like, when that bass line kicks in, I'm like, this rules. I feel like it was more than, it sort of, like, transcended the Raisins. It might have been in movies. Like, it might have been, like, you know, like, part of the soundtrack of something. I don't know. That
it's not even the headlining song. It has like the third song on an album you get by mailing away Raisin Bran box tops. Yes. Has no business being this good.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. So you were more of a Raisin Bran person than were you eating raisins themselves or was it just the Raisin Bran?
I didn't like raisins.
You didn't like raisins.
Me neither.
Yeah,
I don't know if anyone really does.
Yeah, I guess they're not probably not really anyone's favorite. I was almost
like, why would you do that to a grape?
A grape is much more superior, and there are so many better dried fruits. You know, apricot, solid. You know, a currant is like a fancier grape. Is that just like a white grape that's been dried, or is a currant its own thing?
I feel like I don't know. I've never been into. First of all, I can't answer your current question. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know why you would dry a fruit only, I feel like, if you knew that hard times were coming and you needed food to last you a while, right?
Yes, that's where that comes from, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, I will enjoy this grape now and not worry about the winter ahead.
Right. But no, I'm going to be drying all my cranberries and apricots and peaches or whatever.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, to answer your question, I was not into... I ate Raisin Bran, was not into raisins. I think I was responding to the animation, but now that I'm looking this up, I remember, so the animation for the California Raisins was done by Vinton Studios.
Yes.
And they also put out a movie, that Mark Twain claymation movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, they did that?
So I think that, I could be making this up or misremembering it, but I think they made so much money off the California Raisins that they were able to like self-fund that Mark Twain movie. And
wow,
so that Mark Twain movie also had a huge effect on me, and I didn't even put the two together until probably somebody told me.
Yeah, The Adventures of Mark Twain from 1985.
So it was before, so obviously that's not true then, because
he directed. Will Vinton, though, you know, sort of the head of that ad agency, he directed and produced it.
So it was 2 years before the California Raisins.
Yeah, it was.
All right, so you guys can edit that part out.
Okay, yeah, we'll edit that out for you. No problem.
Wow. Just an interesting thing reading about Will Vinton. He worked with Craig Bartlett to create some kind of claymation short film called Arnold Escapes from Church, which eventually became Hey Arnold.
Wow. You just did like a quick deep dig in Wikipedia or something?
Yeah, like, and it's funny because I'm only on one monitor, one screen, and the majority of it's taken up by our, you know, talking.
Our call.
So I can only see, like, a sliver of a paragraph below it from just being on the page, and I just saw Hey Arnold and just read back. And, like, that's the sentence. But anyway.
Right, just being something that we've talked about on the show a couple of times. Someone picked it back early in the early days of the show.
Yeah.
Hey Arnold. Somebody picked.
Yeah. Arnold. Yeah.
And this guy Will Vinton did the PJs from Fox with Eddie Murphy. I remember that. That was a claymation like sitcom.
Oh yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like claymation, 80s covers, raisins. I mean, it seems like what a Venn diagram. Truly, what a Venn diagram. Tom, like. You know, you mentioned that your kids listen to like Kids Bop and stuff. Have you ever showed them this album or had them listen to it?
No, because they're not going to know a lot of the songs on it.
Right.
And it's
time to teach them. These are the classics. They got to learn.
It's pretty amazing how stuff does not hold up for kids. Like stuff that you remember from your childhood. Like, oh, I enjoyed this so much when I was a kid, but you put it in front of them, and it's like, what is this garbage? Like,
right? What are you making, subjecting me to, basically?
Yeah. The other day, I was trying to get them off iPad, so I put on the original animated Lion King, and they were like, they couldn't even
really.
They couldn't even look at it because it was
too slow. Like cell animation. Is that what they weren't into it? Yeah.
Yeah, they can't. You become so used to computer animation that they can't relate to it. Can't tolerate it.
Wow.
They love the new Lion King with Beyonce. They're all about that. Kids these days.
I guess so. Or we can't rule out that they were just like mad at me for something and they're
taking it out
in that in that moment. Yeah, like I don't want to watch this crap.
Right. I'm not doing this, Dad.
Yeah. I could tell you with 100% certainty if I played for them this music, they would not want to hear it.
Yeah.
How old are they?
8 and 6. Dude. If I showed them the California Raisins animation, I don't know. Like claymation is like kind of a thing on its own, where it's interesting to look at.
It is interesting.
Your brain tries to figure out what it's seeing, how it's happening. So maybe that would hold them for a few minutes, but it was not like the mind blowing. Like they've seen so much more advanced animation and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I, animation or not, I think you got to get your kids on off the Kids Bop and onto these classics.
Into this 110, this 36 minute. There's so much music out there.
Well,
but these are classic hits. These are classics.
You sound like your dad.
We don't listen to Kids Bop now.
My dad would hate this, by the way. Just so we're clear, he would not enjoy listening to this. But
enjoy the covers.
No, because he wouldn't enjoy these songs. He is not like these Motown hits or whatever. Like these are not for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it's on the border of like
what's
classic rock, right?
And it's like easy. I think it's like nice to appreciate. Like you know, it's easy to appreciate because it, like I said before, easy listening. It's like you know, it doesn't like it's not doing any harm really. It's funny. we should just start getting people's dads on the podcast too, huh, Justin?
I think that would make everybody. That would be really fun. Just having them chime in with stuff.
Let's get like a Jeff Karen segment or something. I like that. We'll get that cooking. Write that in the notes. Okay. If you're taking notes.
I'm taking notes.
Thanks. So Tom, like, where did this album sort of like stick around with you? You know, being something that you like, you sent out for, was it something that you listened to like throughout the years, or is it something that you sort of like you grew out of after a while or anything like that?
Yeah, I probably grew out of it. I remember I probably bought my first single cassette tape in like sixth or seventh grade. So that was, I don't want to say I listened to this nonstop between fourth and sixth grade, but
yeah.
That was around the time where I started getting more into popular music. But I do remember listening to this album quite a bit, and I have a distinct memory of bringing this to school one time, and we were in art class and you could play music to while everyone drew, and I remember the teacher said what is this music, and I was like, whose tape is this, and I was like proudly that's mine.
Yeah.
And she's like, I really like it.
Awesome.
Oh, good.
This is great. And I was like beaming with pride, and then preparing for this episode, just like trying to remember stuff. I now realize that was probably like a pity thing where she was like, what is this crap? And I was like, I love this stuff. And she was like, oh.
No, I bet the teacher was into it. She was probably, your classmates might have been like, ass.
Oh, they definitely were. Not into it, probably.
I guess, like, that's my thing. That's why I feel like if you say you like music, you have to love this. Like, I just don't see how you could not.
I'm with you.
Because go ahead.
Well, I mean, at that age, music is all about coolness, whatever.
No, at that age. But I mean, for the teacher to, like, not enjoy. Like, there's no way your teacher didn't enjoy it. Like, I just don't see how after, like, the cool factor, because eventually the cool factor leaves you when you're, like, not in high school anymore. Like, it's just not about that.
Maybe she was trying to knock down one of the cool, like, take one of the cool kids and knock him down a peg. You know, one of, like, the kids who's, like, listening to Nirvana, who I don't know who the hell's out in, I guess, 1986, probably not. But, like, and then Tom adorably raises his hand with his eyes are bright and wide. And she's like, you know what, Tom? This is, you're a kind soul. And yeah, this is great.
John is right. There was definitely a lot going on in that moment that went over my head. I do recall her being like a cool art teacher. So
yeah.
It's one of two ways. Either she recognized that this was some lame stuff, and in that moment she needed to protect me from those wolves, or she recognized that this is good music and planted that flag.
Yeah. So, you know, paint your own picture of young Tom raising his hands in art class. You know, he's got his colored pencils out. He's got his 64 crayons or whatever the hell. And they're listening to what else were people putting on? Do you remember? I know that's like a long time ago, but
I don't remember how that came about. Cause why would I have a cassette tape in school? I don't.
Right.
Cause you couldn't have like a Walkman. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't explain that. Maybe we were allowed to bring in tapes, but don't remember.
Have you like revisited any time recently instead of for the podcast? Like, had you put it on in the past 10 years or anything like that?
It was maybe within the year. I noticed somebody on social media put a picture of an album and was like, this is the first album I ever bought with my own money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was trying to remember what mine was. And I was like, oh yeah, the California Raisins. And so I looked it up and put a picture of it, and everyone always thinks I'm joking when I bring it up, but no, this was it for me.
Yeah, yesterday at work, Tom was like, "This is not a bit. This is not. I didn't think it was.
I mean, I
love it. I love that the name of the album is The California Raisins Sing the Hit Songs. You know?
Just the hits.
Yeah, the hit songs.
Like what hits? The hit what?
Yeah. And you know, not just like hit songs, but the hit songs too. Like, they're singing the hit songs. There's 10 of them. We're going to cover them all. And, yeah, I mean, they followed it up with What Does It Take to Win Your Love? And I Got You, I Feel Good on a purple vinyl 7-inch. So, Justin, as someone who collects vinyl, you gotta find that bad boy. I bet it.
I was looking for the LP of this. I can get it for $4.
Oh, wow.
But unfortunately, there's not... I can't believe even in 2020, there's no version of this that's on colored vinyl. Like, that came out maybe in 2020. Like, there should be a purple vinyl version of this without question.
Yeah.
But another time.
The cassette tape, I think, was
blue. Purple. Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely colored.
I could tell you if that's worth anything right now. Let's see.
Do you still have it, Tom, by any chance?
I don't. There's a good chance I have it. I don't know where. I haven't seen it in years, so it may be in a box somewhere. But
somewhere, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I have a tape player in my car. That would be the one way I could play it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Cassette players are sort of not the easiest thing to come by these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess now's the time for the question. As Justin tries to find the current 2020 worth of this cassette tape.
I found a black tape.
Yeah, no, the one I see is like blue with curtains behind them, and there's four raisins standing like in front of like a blue curtain.
That's
like,
the on stage. Artwork.
Yeah, that's the album art. I'm like looking for the actual. So I found a clear tape.
Oh, gotcha. The actual
tape. But yeah, none of them are actually a colored plastic. Be nice, as far as I can tell.
A translucent purple, I think, would really set the mood.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Maybe this is a false memory. Or maybe the Raisin Bran Sendaway, you got a special edition of it.
I mean, I'm not going to say that that's not true, but I now am going to do more research because I'm thinking this website, which has like the two different Canadian versions plus the three different US versions and the UK version, but none of them say colored.
Yeah, they're all clear, the ones I'm seeing. Maybe I'm wrong. Wouldn't be the first time.
But it looks like, you know, they go for, you know, about $4. Wow. So
straight across the board, $4.
Yeah.
That's something. That's if you don't want to listen to all the songs for absolutely no money on YouTube.
Right, or... on YouTube, yeah. Yeah, or wherever, whatever subscription but service you have.
I guess I was thinking about, like, oh, you know, like, what's, like, it's fun. So if you buy, I'm specifically thinking about vinyl, shocker. But, like, people buy vinyl because they, like, you know, they buy, like, a turntable now, and it's, like, in the living room, and it's, like, something you play while
you know, it just sounds so much better, man. You hear, you hear the grooves, and, like, you
can I don't think people appreciate that in the slightest. I think people just like having a cool...
Oh, it's also very hip. It's like
I think it's very hip to have something in the room. This is an amazing compilation for that. Like, even if you don't know it's the California Raisins, the cover versions of these songs... In the order that they're in, the sequence that they're in, these are good fucking songs. These are
all right. Well, let's get to it. Tom, what do you think? Does it hold up?
Yeah, I don't want to keep you in suspense, but I think it holds up.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Justin, I think you agree too, based on what you just said.
Yeah, I'm gonna go buy it. I'm gonna be looking for it in the used record store for sure.
It's a hidden gem of the cover band world.
It really is. And yeah, it's like, you know, 10 tracks, 36 minutes, not you know, straight into the point.
And they're all a little different. You know, they're not like, they're like, as we mentioned
straight covers.
With Lean On Me, you know, they all kind of, they're all a bit all peppy and, but in a good way. They're
Buddy Miles' voice is so good. It's he has a great voice. Yeah. Yep.
I feel like if they did this nowadays, they would be like skits and like more Raisin humor and stuff like that. But you don't even you don't realize that you're supposed to be listening to a Raisin sing.
Well,
this music.
That's why I was so confused for so long with this pick. It was like I don't get what Raisins have to do with it. Like what? This is just a guy covering really popular songs from a few years prior. What is the connection to Raisins? And
they
needed
to sell Raisins.
Right. And so that's where the video, you know, I guess I was a little surprised that like
a lot of commercials.
We didn't watch the commercials or the videos.
Animated specials.
Because I think that's what probably sold this to then get someone to buy the tape, you know, beyond just the back of the Raisin brand box.
It's like an advertising strategy from a different era. Like Kellogg's Corn Flakes brings you this musical artist for like no reason. And it's somehow they combine that with the throwaway joke that John mentioned, like what are we going to do next? Heard it through the grapevine. Obviously, that's the Keystone song.
Right. Yep.
I love this. I did watch some of the commercials, you know, just because I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. Like, I remember them so well, you know, like the visual of the Raisins on stage singing like wrinkly and is just like it's a very visceral memory and it
quickly passed. I remember kids dressing as Raisins just like for Halloween, just putting a garbage bag over your head, and that was the costume.
A video game for Nintendo called the California Raisins, The Grape Escape.
Yeah, they just milked it. I mean, they just went hard for 2 years and were just like, what can we franchise? Like, let's just fucking go.
And there's probably a million ripoffs of this. Like, I just thought of 7-Up tried to make a whole franchise of their little dots. Like,
That had a video game, too. He had a video game.
I remember that had a video game. Yeah.
That video game is good, actually. I've never played this California Raisins game, but for some reason, the 7-Up dot game was actually kind of fun.
I don't remember the California Raisins video game.
Yeah, apparently there were 5 side-scrolling levels battling various evil fruit and vegetable characters that have stolen the Raisins' music.
When did that come out? 88?
In the early 90s, Capcom did it for the original Nintendo, the NES. So,
Good stuff.
Absolute
cool.
gem. Really a gem.
Should we take a break and come back with not Raisins as our snack?
I know, because that too, not to be too presumptuous, but I was like, oh, we're going to do, I wonder if Tom's going to pair it up with Raisins, but no, we will not be eating Raisins. We'll be having a fun snack cake when we get back.
I picked the wrong snack.
No, you didn't pick the wrong. I don't know. Wrong is not the right.
I couldn't be more excited to have a ring ding.
All right.
Oh, gave it away. Sorry. All right. We'll be right back. Do you hate leaving your house during the pandemic, John?
I'm sick of not leaving my house, Justin. Are you pitching like 1950s infomercials?
Well, here's the thing.
I'm listening.
I
I enjoy getting ButcherBox delivered right to my door because then I don't have to deal with the grocery store at all.
So that is a good reason to not leave your house, not go to the grocery store. You don't get frustrated by the people wearing their masks incorrectly or not following the arrows on the aisles.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. To be honest, I don't really follow the arrows either. But
oh, no. You have to follow the arrows. What the fuck?
But you know what? If you don't want to deal with people like me who don't follow the arrows, butcherbox.com, use the code HOLDUP.
Wow, we're going to, okay, this is the end of the ad because Justin and I need to have a talk. Butcherbox.com, smoothiebox.com. You go to those websites, you put in our code, HOLDUP. You get some fun goodies. You get percentages off your subscription. It's a reason to not leave the house and not see people like Justin.
And not see people like me. And, you know, right now, the ButcherBox is a go. There's no meat shortage concerns by getting ButcherBox like there might be if you go to the grocery store. So check it out.
That's something people are encountering, meat shortages.
Well, I don't know. It was a thing that people were concerned about at some point. And
don't be concerned now. ButcherBox.com, smoothiebox.com.
HOLDUP.
And we're back with Ring Dings.
Wow. Are you showing them off to the camera and everything just for us?
Yeah. Well, and then I'm going to go right to this for the screenshot.
For the screenshot. There you go. Perfect. Yeah, so Tom, second segment, we sort of teased it before. We were not talking about raisins, which I think is great. We're here to talk about Ring Dings. So,
yeah. So, I guess my first question for you guys is, where did you find these things? Because I went to four places and I couldn't find Ring Dings. So I found Ding Dongs.
Oh my goodness!
Oh shit, dude! Uh-oh.
Which are like the same. It's basically the same thing as far as I can tell.
It is the same thing. Actually, when I Googled Ring Dings, and I was going to bring this up. You Google Ring Dings, the top hit is Ding Dongs, and
So I was wondering, like, did I mistake? Like, is this another false memory? And I was like texting my sister, and that's what I remember.
I could have sworn that I had seen them as singles, like you would a Ring Ding or a Twinkie or other Hostess things. But, I'm sorry, Ding Dongs. Ring Dings are Drake's
the product. Superior snack product, Drake's.
That is not true.
Okay, well.
But it is like a devil's food cake with a cream filling, chocolate on the outside. And I could only find a box of 10, which is too many. Yep. It's way too many
and
to have in my house.
It's such a big box. Even with 10, this box is so much bigger than you need for 10.
I agree. Yeah.
You got to buy them in bulk.
And so, John, can I just also add, I was blown away. So I finally found this box. It was freaking massive.
Yep.
And so, well, I'll ask you this, Tom. When you were growing up and you ate Ring Dings, did they come in a two-pack or a single?
It was definitely a two-pack.
It was definitely a two-pack. Yeah. So I'm like holding this thing, and I just opened it right now. I just opened this box, and I'm only pulling out singles?
They're singles.
Like, really?
Yeah, what the F?
Yeah, one single frosted cream-filled Devil's Food Cake by Drake's, which is sort of regional. It's a northeastern U.S. company. It expanded to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern U.S., but it's still like relatively regional. It doesn't have as big of a footprint as your Hostess, which on this show we've done a good amount of snack cakes and treats like that that you will find, you know, at the checkout counter at the grocery store or, you know, maybe in a convenience store. So Tom, why did you land on this? You said you were texting your sister about it. So was it, you know, something that you had a lot as a kid growing up?
I remembered it being like this, the ultimate treat. So, like, if we wouldn't have them all the time, but it's not, like, my grandmother would come over and bring us some or something. And I texted her because when I was having a moment of crisis, like, is it actually a Ding Dong? Like, is a Ring Ding something different? Yeah. So I texted her, like, what was the ultimate dessert treat from our childhood? And, like, as a way to get her to say Ring Dings. And she came up with, like, five other things that I'd forgotten about.
That were not this. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll stick with Ring Dings because I remember them being a treat. And I remember we used to put them in the fridge and you'd have them like,
ooh, you, that's good.
Someone would give you this. Like, if you're good, you can have this. You put it in the fridge. I remember them being wrapped in aluminum foil, but that might not have been true.
At least not the ones I've ever had growing up. They were not wrapped in that, but doesn't mean they never were.
Right.
Yeah, Drake's, the packaging of it. We never got them in a box. I don't remember what the two pack packaging looked like.
I think it looks kind of. So you have Hostess Ding Dongs. Is that what you have right now?
Yes.
And they're in a two pack, right?
It's in a two pack cellophane wrapper with a cardboard backing.
That is how I remember them. That's
and Drake's is always the same. It's always this orange and blue Drake's at the top, and they have this sort of like. Basically Comic Sans with an outline because they do Funny Bones, they do Yodels, coffee. To me, the coffee cake is like the upper echelon of a Drake snack. You know, the Drake's coffee cake, of course, second Seinfeld reference in this episode. So this being, do you feel like it stands out to you, Tom, because it is like a sweet treat and it was a little bit of a, it was like a more of a special treat.
Probably had a lot to do with it, but I did just take a bite of this thing, and it's, I can't tell you how it compares to the Ring Ding, but there is something about the hard chocolate casing it's pretty good.
It's great.
Yeah, and the Ring Ding itself has a good amount of cream. The percentage of cream on the inside of this is pretty good. You know, it's like. It's like Oreo ratio. Sometimes you run across some of these snack cakes and it's like...
Not so much on this side.
That is it right there. John, can you have yours up at the same time? I already ate mine, but there it is. There's our photo for when we talk about this.
That is a lot more cream
filling. That is so much more cream filling on the Ring Ding. And that is what I was going to say about it, is that I think that chocolate shell is probably the same. And even second the devil's... Bite. Oh. Like almost less.
Yeah, because it's just it's like a quarter size dollop.
And look at the packaging.
Oh wow, that packaging has a lot of cream. The picture on the front of the packaging has a lot of cream.
I would say
the Hostess legal department. What are they? They're getting away with some shit over there, man. Wow.
That's what I think. Drake's for their yodels and their Ring Dings. I think they are the best snack cakes. I think their ratio is right. Their ratio is the best out of all of them. They're all taste the same, more or less, but I think Drake's ratios are spot on.
I don't often eat stuff like this, and I couldn't even when I went to four different places, and I didn't even know like where in the store to find this. Like, I was in Stop and Shop, and I was like, "Where's
they're your, on an end cap at the end?
Yeah, where's your shitty food?
Yeah,
They are always in a weird spot.
They're not in like the cookie aisle or the. Nope. They're not in the bakery. They're not.
They stand alone. Maybe they sometimes stand alone by the
over
ice cream.
By the ice cream. And
I found Hostess in. I don't even remember what aisle I found Hostess, but then I found some Drake's stuff, but not Ring Dings, and it was the only place in the store I could find it, and it was in the sale end cap, like stuff that was marked down, and that was it. Yeah. And then I went to a gas station, CVS, and
I am surprised by that. I mean, Walmart is where I ended up finding them. I have learned that the junkier the food, Walmart will prevail.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, as someone who loves a product finder, did you use the product finder at all?
Didn't have to. Knew it would be at Walmart.
Wow. Knew it would be at Walmart. It was just an intuition that you had.
I just knew. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
And luckily, I was kind of inspired to go back to Walmart because of last week's pick. Or 2 weeks ago when we did Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and one time I had seen their Flamin' Hot Cheeto mac and cheese.
Did you get it?
Yep, I bought it. I haven't eaten it yet, but I bought it last night with the Ring Dings. So
we'll have to update on a future episode. That's a nice tease there, Justin. So Tom, you said you don't have stuff like this often. Have you had a Ring Ding or a Ding Dong like recently at all?
I do remember eating a Ring Ding like once in my adult life, but I happened to see it in a store and like it struck a memory. I was like, oh, I wonder if these are as good as I remember. I don't remember how long ago that was, but I remember kind of feeling like a little bit let down. So,
oh really?
Now I'm going off of that valley and coming up to
These are pretty good again.
And it's not that bad, yeah.
No, it's solid. It definitely isn't the type of snack that you want to have often. I mean, this one ring ding is 180 calories.
That's a lot. That's a lot. What is the calorie on the ding dongs for a two pack? Are they recommending you eat two?
They're recommending you eat two, and it will land you 320 calories.
Okay, so it's slightly short of
less cream.
That's what that less cream gets you.
Yeah. So 160 calories each instead of 180. So
they're probably banking on being stacked side by side in the store and people picking up the health conscious, like, which one has fewer calories?
Right.
Because there's less cream.
Which one is going to make me feel better in the morning if I have six ding dongs or six ring dings? You know,
this one has a seagull on the box.
Yeah. He's wearing a fun hat. A hostess has a heart. That means that they care about my heart and my health.
I'm probably just about as nostalgic for the colors on this box of Drake's Ring Dings as I am for the taste. But I think they changed the font. I don't remember it looking like that.
Who knows? They are pretty close. So you picked Ring Dings, which I'm psyched about, Tom, because that's what I grew up with. I grew up with Yodels and Ring Dings, not the other brands. Like, almost never had the other brands in the house. And I do remember this, the font and everything, that all is right there. And I, you know, my personal preference is now Drake's because of that. And I'm going to make up that ratio thing. I have no idea how true that is. It's just, it didn't seem to hold true though when we held up our cream, you know, pictures there. That sounded gross. Anyway, I'm really glad you picked Ring Dings because that's what I had growing up. And it's exactly like I remember. Everything tastes the same. I love it.
So upon doing some Googling, I do see a different logo from like the 60s and 70s. I also see multiple pictures of snack cakes wrapped in aluminum foil.
Yes, I am seeing that too.
A decent amount of pictures are coming up of Devil's Food snack cakes, both Drake's Ring Dings and Ding Dongs wrapped in aluminum foil. So maybe that is how they were packaged at some point.
I see that. Yeah, I do remember now. The hockey puck shape in aluminum foil.
Yeah.
How interesting! That is so weird looking.
People just wanted to microwave them, I guess.
We got to get them out of this aluminum foil.
Yeah, and I see these old logos. I don't remember them looking like that. I think probably what I'm just confused on is this font looks pretty modern, so maybe they just were ahead of their time.
There's even some, I found another one from like 1987, which has a bunch of, it has coffee cakes and Yankee Doodles and Yodels, that same color scheme, you know, that sort of, it's not necessarily a pastel blue and like, but it's not like an in-your-face primary blue and orange, but it's a little bit more subtle. And the font is different too. It's very of the time. It, you know, it seems like it would be like the same font that they used for San Diego Padres jerseys back in the 80s or something like that. You know, the Cincinnati Reds and Yankee Doodles had the same designer or something. But I will say I enjoy it. I only took one bite, but I'm staring at the rest of it. So I'm going to have another bite.
Go for it.
Yeah, enjoy it. I wish I didn't eat mine so fast because I would definitely have more. But
a box of 10 is dangerous too.
Oh, box of 10. I'm going to put some in the fridge, though, because we've done that with other snack cakes, and they're always super good when you do
that. It's always good, yeah. Now you can pair some with your Flamin' Hot mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah, that's just going to be the day.
Fridge is definitely the way to go. I think it changes the structure of the chocolate coating, like makes it a little bit more rigid.
One of the things I think, one of my favorite questions to ask Tom is, you have kids.
Yeah.
Do your kids eat anything like this now? They eat Hostess cupcakes, they eat Ring Dings, Yodels. Do you want that shit in the house? Are you going to let them try this now, but like then never again? What's going on with your kids and Ring Dings?
They probably would like this. I don't think I've ever given them anything like a Hostess snack, but they're definitely into sweets. Maybe I'll try that and see how it goes. They're very like, you kind of have to trick them into liking anything, even if it's...
They're just like skeptical.
Likes this? Yeah, I don't know. We probably won't.
Yeah. So, like, as a dad, you're always trying to... The big balance is that you find something they like, so you go buy a whole bunch of it in bulk, and then as soon as you get it home, they don't...
They moved on.
They moved on, yeah. So not. So you learn that lesson. Don't do that.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, but then you have to get creative. You have to get creative. Like, when you have a lot of food, you don't want it to go bad, so you got to trick them into liking it and move it off the shelves, get it going.
Right. Just maybe, like, you know, maybe leave it on the counter so that their eyes see it and it reminds them of it. Yeah, because it's just going to, if it winds up in the back of the pantry or whatever, it's going to
go bad.
You're going to miss out on it. Yeah.
We had these breakfast bars that my wife would eat, and we discovered that my son liked them. So I was like, all right, two people eat these, we're going to go through a lot of them. And I went out and bought them, and almost instantly, no, everybody stopped eating them. And so I would always try to push them, and my son's like, I don't want that. Like, I don't like those K-bars or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is a special treat. It's a cool guy tasty bar. And so he, like, because it had a cool name, he was very young.
Yeah.
He went for it. And so that, for years, we called them cool guy tasty bars at our house. And I had to keep buying them. And we always had to tell the school, like, when we dropped him off, like, if he asked for a cool guy tasty bar, that's this.
That's this K-bar thing.
It's not anything else.
Right. Learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, because then it turns into, like, you reluctantly eating them on your own because you're like, I don't want these to go bad. I guess I'll just eat one of these on the way into work or something. Yeah,
it's less enjoyable to think about the money wasted than it is to just sit down and eat this.
But yeah, right.
I don't know. With sweets, you really can't miss.
True.
I think, would they like this? I don't know. They probably would like the ring ding better. I think the cream would
help sell it.
Yeah, well, you know, either we're going to have you back on or you can call the hotline and we'd love to hear just how it goes with your kids giving them any of these snack treats, whatever kind you give them, because it sounds like they haven't had any of them before. So I would love to hear the
gas station cakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could record a gas station cake video and send it in.
Oh my goodness.
Hell yeah.
That'd be so good. So Tom, you know, unfortunately you didn't find the ring ding, no problem, but just curious, like, you know, do you think it holds up? It's kind of a weird question to ask because you don't have it in front of you, but like, you
mentioned
enjoying the ding dong. Yeah.
I say this is close enough.
It is.
Would say I am in a different place now in my life. Yep. I'm not going to put fault on the ding dong or the ring ding, but I would say for me, it's probably not. It's probably going to be a no.
Not for you. Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to not like them, but I love them. And it's just important that I don't keep these in the house.
Yeah.
But I do like them. I think they taste exactly the same as they always have.
Is it weird? I guess we're not really handing out Halloween candy this year, but could I save them for like 3 weeks and give them out, put them in a bowl?
Yeah.
Do they expire?
No. Well, maybe, but not in their
sealed. It says October, best if used by October 20th, 2020. What the? That's before Halloween.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's what mine says, October 28th.
What are we supposed to do about Halloween? What are we doing about Halloween this year? Are you putting, like, buckets of candy out? What are we doing?
I think people are just pushing through it.
People are just going to go.
Trick-or-treating.
Kids are wearing masks anyway, you know?
Yeah. Hey.
Kids are wearing masks. That's the general.
The way my parents are handling it is they are still doing like their walk through the haunted yard, but at the end, instead of putting all the candy in like a bowl that like they have to, you know, pick through, they're putting all the same type of candy, not a mixed bag, only the same type of candy on a.
This is well thought out.
On a tray, on a sheet, so that it's very easy to. There's no like waiting about which one you want or whatever. You take the thing. And it's all very much right there in front of you, and you move on. That's how they're handling it.
Interesting.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Keeps it moving.
Right.
That's pretty good. I don't know what we're going to do. I think we have a big trick-or-treating neighborhood. We get like 200-plus trick-or-treaters every year before, and then we run out of candy. We could get more than that. So it's
that's a lot of candy, huh?
I don't think it's politically popular to shut down Halloween, so I think that not many towns are going to want to do that, but I don't know. I don't think we're going to be here for it. If anyone wants to come egg our house.
Oh, wow. There you go.
We usually go trick-or-treating ourselves, so we do the bowl thing, and it's gone in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's always gone because of the bowl there. And I mean, some kids, they're, you know,
some jerk 13-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, jerk, opportunistic, whatever you want to call them, you know, they're just getting free candy.
Yeah.
There's no honor system on Halloween.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, it's the opposite of the honor system, right? I mean, like you said, people are egging houses.
Mischief. It's mischief night. And yeah, it is mischief night too.
Yeah. Actually, now that, you know, you mentioned, maybe I shouldn't say this on the show. I'll say it. I'll tell you both later off mic. Okay. So, Tom, thank you so much for coming. This was a lot of fun. California Raisins, honestly, it's like at the top of my music right now on my Apple Music app, and it's not going anywhere. I'm going to be listening to it. My wife is going to be like, what the fuck are you listening to? And I cannot wait to have to explain it and have her to stop listening to me within about 30 seconds because there's no way she's going to be into it, I don't think.
Oh, I bet she'll be into it. I bet you she doesn't care why.
Yeah, maybe when I start going down to the rabbit hole of like playing the commercials and stuff like that, she's going to be like, this has gotten very old very quickly.
Yes, yeah. But I think if you just played this music as if it were just music in your shuffle, you'd be golden. She would enjoy it.
We'll have to try it. We'll have a follow-up. You know, that social experiment, Tom talking to his kids about the gas station snacks, and then Justin, I don't know, do whatever the hell you want to.
Yeah, I'll just do it. I'll buy the record.
Yeah. Get her reaction to Lean On Me as a standalone and then the rest of everything you said, because I think that's the key.
Okay, I'm going to put it on right after this, and I can't wait. This has been a lot of fun. We'll do a little bit of plugs real quick. You can check us out on social media all over. We're at the Hold Up Podcast everywhere except for Twitter, where we are at the Hold Up Cast. Justin mentioned our hotline. You can call in to the Hold Up Hotline, 401-236-5170. Leave us ratings and reviews wherever you listen to the show. And check out our sponsors that you heard about during our break. I think that's it, right, Justin?
That's it.
Yeah. And so, Tom, now the floor is yours. If there's anything you want to plug, thank you so much for coming. This was a lot of fun. And,
Go ahead. Thanks for having me on. It was fun. I don't really have too much to plug.
No, that's okay.
Be nice to each other.
How about that? Be nice to each other. That's a great sentiment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everyone. Right,
talk to you soon. Bye.
Decaf left, regular right. Decaf left, regular right. It's very challenging work.